could lift the old veil for a second, as they say on the streets, as you're listening to this episode of New Game Who Dis, right now, this 20th episode of New Game Who Dis, the 18th episode just dropped today, so we're just seeing the early reports of what people think of Deathwatch and what people think of old Grant Berger in the GM chair. But most importantly, what we're seeing is what people think of Matthew Capitacasa being a poor sport. What is it like to be on this crusade where everything that doesn't fit your little worldview is bad? What is it like? What is it like to part your chest hair for a moment and look into the eyes of another man who might like something different than you?
I have a prepared statement I'd like to read, and I'll be willing to answer any questions you have.
Please, the committee.
We have refused to pay your PR firm for this statement, by the way. I know you tried to put it on the comp, but this is a Matthew Cap sitch.
I'm pulling out my statement right now. Okay, go. Here we go. I'd like to clarify some comments I made in episode 18 of New Game Who Dis. While I stand by my opinion about the things I described in that episode, I do regret that I yucked other people's yums. And would henceforth like to apologize for said comments. I actually had a great conversation with a listener and Patreon subscriber for one of our Patreon Talk Nerdies last night, Matt. We talked before the episode dropped, and we were having a great conversation. Then he expressed how excited he was to listen to the 40K, and then when he saw my strangled look, things took a turn. No, actually, we had a great conversation about it, and he was filling me in on how, like, the idea is, you know, you're playing bad guys, and actually there's a way to read all of the Warhammer stuff that, like, this is all a comment on fascism. I was like, that's actually really interesting.
Adam Roberts, who is a sci-fi author nominated 3 times for the Arthur C. Clarke Award, including his debut novel Salt, which I think a lot of people read, defined Grimdark as where nobody is honorable and might is right, the standard way of referring to fantasies that turn their backs on the more uplifting pre-Raphaelite visions of idealized medievalania. And he suggests that George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire is the finest example of grimdark fiction currently in existence. He gave this at his, I think, the second annual Tolkien conference as the keynote speaker. Huh. So it may not be the ideal kind of genre for Matthew of grimdark, but in maybe a couple tweaks, maybe a couple other things in there, I think it's you would enjoy it if you could get over, you know, being a jerk.
Yeah,
I don't mind playing a bad guy. That actually clarified it. Like you're like, oh yeah, you're playing like total assholes and total
right.
white, total like, you know, human supremacists or whatever. But I think, I mean, like, so, and also I will say in my defense, I think I said this to you off the air, Grant, but I'm really enjoying the game. Like the system is fun. Like spending an action to go to do full auto on a machine gun is. That seems pretty elegant in
That's
terms of game design
fun.
To me.
Hey, that really worked for me, too.
Well, next time we'll extrapolate this wonderful D10 system onto maybe role-playing and a feat playwright who is lost in his own ennui. And every time you roll a crit on the D10, you write another page of your novel. I don't know.
I lost you at the one of those things you mispronounced along the way.
Oh, boy. Wow. I think it was still
a feet. Isn't that correct?
It's one of those things really that doesn't sound correct, so I just let it go.
You're on like a 6-week roll of publicly mispronouncing things. It's just been
no
awesome.
A feet is absolutely a correct.
Yeah, it is a feet.
And it is someone who is affected, over-refined, and ineffectual. And I'm going to add to that definition, someone who doesn't know every word's pronunciation, you asshole. So go fuck yourself.
Grant, I think the God Emperor complex is working a little too keenly on you. You think you can just like invent new definitions as you go along?
Yes, for our audio recording today, Grant has referred to himself as God Emperor.
Yes.
That is the name of his track. So I think it really is starting to seep into his mind a little bit.
And I'm drinking some Ultramar Blue juice.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that looks like you're drinking windshield wiper fluid.
It does.
So overall, though, outside of Matthew yucking yums left and right, just general, real quick, how are you liking the system so far? Was it fun fighting a horde? Did you guys enjoy that part?
Oh, yeah. I liked it a lot. I get stressed out. I guess I'm going to use the word stressed out when, like, I'm not 100% sure about the rules, and then we're just kind of rolling with it, and I'm in my head, I'm like, is this 100% right? It's driving me crazy. So like the rules for the hordes was tying me up a little bit, but I like that there's a level of complexity there that isn't like impenetrable. Like with enough study, I feel like we could flow with this game. I really like it so far.
Yeah. I could sense before Skid goes, sorry to interrupt. I could sense, Troy, you were trying to say like, well, I get that that's the rule, but in the spirit of this, I enjoyed seeing how you approach a new system. Like you were trying to bend the rules to match the role play. And I think that's always a right way to approach things. Sorry, Skid.
Yeah, I get stressed out too doing a new system, and especially when it's new for everybody. Like if there's one person who knows it really well, that's a different story. But yeah, you said elegant. This is one of the most elegant systems as far as I've experienced it that we've played so far. I love it.
It seems similar to that other Fantasy Ground or Fantasy Flight stuff we played, but a little more streamlined.
Yeah, I think it's a little more elegant than Star Wars. And yeah. I didn't dislike Star Wars Age of Rebellion. I thought that it had a lot of fun mechanics that led to immersive storytelling and all that kind of emergent storytelling and all that kind of stuff. But there are times where I was just like, this is exhausting to like, you know what I mean? To like put all this stuff together mechanically. But this one seems... Now, my question for you, Grant, I don't know how deep you've gotten into the larger game, because to me, the coolest mechanics that I read in preparing for this are ones that we haven't used, and it sounds like we're not going to use anytime soon, which is cohesion and squad mode versus solo mode. Mm-hmm. When I started reading that, I was like, this is the coolest thing I might have ever read on an RPG system. Because it is one of the neatest mechanical ways to make people work together and be rewarded for working together, and how it has a lot of elements that would have natural emergent storytelling because it's all about the group. And I think that it says it right in the game system that it's drawn out of the fact that if each of these space marines, these Adeptus Astartes, are the top of the top of their faction, then like, or their chapter rather, why wouldn't they be so, you know, insanely egomaniacal that they could never like work together with somebody from a different chapter? And it's the cohesion rules that explain how all of that works and how they working as a team benefits you so greatly mechanically, like your abilities get enhanced and everything. And like your team can spend points to accomplish certain things, or, you know what I mean? Similar to the Force stuff from Star Wars.
There certainly will be an opportunity to explore some more things. This adventure is really streamlined and really kind of designed to be something that you can just pop out at a moment. But you inadvertently quoted Watch Captain Brand, who once said, amongst 100 men, there may be none fit for the Adeptus Astartes. Amongst 100 space marines, there may be only one fit for the Death Watch. And I'm going to give out my version of a bottle cap to Skid. I'm going to give out a seal of purity to Skid.
Oh.
Which is a mark of us. If I hadn't known about the fascism, that would have done it.
The Grant Berger seal of purity.
Thank you. Thank you, God Emperor.
Of course. It is a mark of a space marine's pure faith or morality in the eyes of the Emperor of Mankind and the chapter. Such seals are only ever awarded by the chapter's chaplains, bestowed upon a space marine before battle, as the chaplain bestows a blessing onto the ranks of space marines. And it's because he gave a blessing, he read a something as you were hurtling down from orbit into the way, and he introduced one of those mechanics that really aren't in the adventure. But I'm open to you guys doing it anytime and maybe tonight, maybe in if we wrap it up, maybe if we don't, I'll be introducing more things in this adventure.
So does that work like a fate point then in the system, or
I'll let you use it as a fate point. Yep.
Okay.
Wow. That's awesome.
And fate points are really neat. I think you can exhaust some of your total pool forever to get out of life. So having a new fate point is huge. So I will probably be as stingy as Troy is with these overall, because of these are even more powerful than bottle caps. These are probably more powerful than the Starfinder resolve point system in a way. But anyway, unbeknownst to you, and strictly through what you guys naturally did out there, showing your battle-born valor on the field of battle, you've also already successfully averted a breaking point, which would have destroyed the morale of the planetary defense forces fighting at your side. You did that by showing disdain for the rebels, walking out into the killing ground and surviving a round without taking any damage. In fact, you survived two rounds without taking any damage. But I want you guys now, even as the eastern flank appears to be restoring their morale, I want you guys to make a perception check.
81.
Are my D10s?
Big old fail. 74 over 43.
38 under 53.
Ooh. 72 over 41.
Okay, so out of all of the Battle Brothers, only Battle Brothers Scold realizes that the western flank did not see your valor. Surely, he might suggest to the rest of you, one amongst you is ready to provide rousing words of encouragement to send these men into glorious battle for the Emperor, thus averting another breaking point. Who among you is up to the task?
I can try.
is that the voice you use?
That's, no.
It's your giant body.
I could try. I could give it a shot.
Oh my god!
I'm not great at public speaking, but I could try.
Amazing!
Oh my god! So, Brother Lucian stands up and he shouts out,
"Some creatures, lower human forms, we are members of the Death Watch, the Adeptus Astartes, come to rescue you. Gather yourselves, steel yourselves against the coming tide, the Horde, these heretics that will be purged from your planet in the name of the Emperor."
It's so incredible.
The booming voice echoing from your Voxcaster covers the battlefield. There's no doubt anyone within miles couldn't have heard you. The question is, at this point, did that terrify them or did it bolster their courage? I'm going to need you to make a fellowship check. Because I like that speech so much, it's going to be a challenging +0, no adjustments to the test, but I'm going to give you a +20 bonus on this check because of how good that speech was.
Okay, awesome. 31 under 57.
Oh,
with the bonus.
Beautiful. So that's two successes. So you see the men on the western flank, just like one of them finishes pulling the bayonet on the end of his last gun out of the eyeball of a rebel that came against him. And as he's about to lose his mind and maybe retch on the side, he pulls himself together and says, "To battle!" And the western and eastern flanks have come together because of Brother Lucian's leadership.
Yeah! I'll tell you what else is amazing about this system and setting is that we're first level. And like, we start out like landing with rocket packs and insane weapons and commanding legions of armies. Awesome.
Yeah, it was the battle just basically summed up into Skull doing a short round burst. brother Eliosh flying into the goddamn sky and landing a power fist, a holy grenade from brother Lucian, and Troy finally nailed the final hit, scattering the crowd. But from amongst the fray of tens of thousands of men ripping one another to shreds, incinerating the rest with lasgun fire, a freakishly tall and feral muscled hulk of a man has separated himself from another horde of rebels charging up the hill. He turns his head to address the rabble behind his giant frame. "They don't look so tough. Let me have a word with them." The ground quakes as all 7 feet of the man rumbles up the road towards you. A disgusting act of blasphemy that cannot go unpunished. He is covered in head to toe in blood-stained but sturdy flak armor. "I don't know where you come from, but Lord Holm is ours, and soon, all of Avalos. They call me the whore son of Lord Holm, because me mom couldn't bear to raise me. But you can call me Pat. Prepare to meet your maker." Astartes, assemble. Roll for initiative.
Oh, God. Could you describe this guy again? He has 7 legs?
No, he's 7 foot tall, covered in flak armor.
I also heard that he had 7 legs. I was like,
you were like all 7 feet of him, I guess. And I was like, all 7 feet?
I feel like we're inadequately worried about a seven-footed monster coming out.
You guys have one more foot than him. It's fine. Between the four of them.
What's initiative again?
D10 plus your agility modifier.
D10 plus... Ooh!
Yeah!
Not a great one for Brother Eliash.
Brother Seraphin got a 12.
Whoa! Holy shit, dude.
He does not like the cut of Pat's jib.
Brother Skold got a 5.
Brother Eliash got a 6.
Brother Lucian got a 6 also.
Is this what this looks like, the building behind us?
Yes, I wanted to throw up because the map I had in front of you, even though our listeners couldn't see it, was kind of like, it was a large kind of Gothic church, but it really didn't pull in the maximalism that Matthew hates so much. That's the size of the cathedral. Ultra Gothicness. Even though it's surrounded by industry all around it, as far as the eye can see, this monument to the Emperor's might stands taller by like 10 times.
This does it for me. I don't know why.
I know. I love it.
Just
I love
does it.
It. Just, so just cool. To put it in perspective for the listeners, the buildings to its left look like they are the size of St. Peter's Basilica. And it is 10 times larger than those buildings. Like, it's just ludicrous.
Oh, so awesome.
Excellent. So I have the initiative much better sorted out than last time. So without further ado, take a look at the map for the bird's eye view on the chapel you have crashed into, the cathedral. And coming up first is Brother Seferin.
Ooh. How far away is Pat? Is Pat on the map? Can we see him? Or
he is. He's directly west, southwest of Brother Skold right now. And then,
oh, that dude there.
Yeah, and then I'm going to just show you the horde, their name tag, where it is, so it's easier to see, but it's going to be off screen.
All right, I am going to go full auto with my heavy bolter on Pat. I mean, let's just cut right to the chase.
You'll be shooting through some friendly squares based off of where you are.
Oh, through Brother Elias'
problem. Yeah.
Space. Oh, okay, yeah, that would...
Let me just see. I think we can let you do that at a minus 30 because shooting into melee normally is a minus 20, but I'm going to say shooting through that and, you know, all the barricades and stuff would be at a minus 30.
That's brutal. And that's against minus 30 for my ballistic skill?
Yeah, so you're going to get a plus 20 for your full auto firing. We're going to count you as being braced from your first attack, so you don't need to brace again. But yeah, if you were to move, that would be a half action, and then bracing again would be another. So it's up to you as to how you want to approach it.
All right, I'll stay braced. So what would be the cumulative? You said plus 20 brings me up to a 68, but then minus 30 would bring me to a 38. What does Braced give me?
Braced just allows you to shoot your heavy weapon without penalty.
It's a long shot, but I'm going to go ahead and try it here before I change tactics. See if I can get an opening. I've got the pole position here. If I could land a shot early in the fight, that might help.
All right, so, here we go.
Oh, 99. I jammed my weapon.
Oh, jam, dude!
Oh, no. Oh, that is so bad.
Two of the Battle Brothers now have jammed weapons on the battlefield.
Wait, who else is jammed?
What is wrong with my weapon? This reminds me of... Well, I'll talk about it later.
Brother Eliash's is still jammed, if I remember correctly. You never
unjammed. I did.
Unjammed.
I jammed.
Yeah. You rolled 96 last episode.
I'm sorry. I forgot that.
Fuck. Oh, just a brutal start.
Just as a reminder, the God Emperor sees all.
It's an even more brutal start because you sent us a video showing how Death Watch Space Marines can die.
Yeah. It was
thought we would just live forever.
Seriously. It was like an NFL coach like sending his team a hype video before where they all just get horrifically injured. It's just like a whole team getting horribly injured. Like, that's what's going to happen to you, or could happen, if you don't show up.
If I ever get to coach LeBron James in the NBA, I'm just going to prepare a tape of like 90 minutes of dudes blocking him and him missing dunks and shit. And I'm going to be like, this is what we need to improve this year, LeBron. With Brother Seferin's turn over, the Sean Bradley, the 7 foot tall Pat, steps up to Brother Scold. And he, by the way, is wielding in one hand a chainsword, and in the other hand, he is holding an auto pistol. He decides to go whole ham on that chainsword. Brother Scold, he's aiming for the wolf on your shoulder.
Oh, not my wolf.
Not my wolf.
Not my wolf, please.
That is a 26 under 35 for a hit.
Dodge.
Yeah, can I dodge?
You are able to use a reaction to dodge if you wish.
And so this is against my... I'm trying to go under my agility score?
You got it.
Well, you could also have the dodge skill, right?
I do have the dodge skill.
I think you have to have the dodge skill in order to dodge.
And it's still just your agility score. It's not with any kind of bonus.
Yeah, I'm skilled, so I don't get the plus 10% or the plus
20%. Yeah, you might see like a plus 10. If it says dodge agility and then plus 10, you get a plus 10. But if there's no modifier next to it, I think just because you're skilled, it's not plus 10.
I don't think it's going to matter because I rolled a 93 over a 37.
Oh. Ooh. Jeepers. Almost another jam.
I jam
my toe.
Ow!
That is going to be 14 points of damage, penetrating 2 against your armor. So add up your armor bonus as well as your toughness modifier and subtract that from that damage.
So I have 8 armor points. Is that what you're referring to?
Mm-hmm. And effectively that is 6 because I have penetration 2.
So 6... plus the 4, my toughness bonus is a 10.
So you take 4 wounds.
Ah. Whoa.
I'm writing it down.
They've drawn blood.
I told you we'd get them, says Pat. Up next, it's Brother Eliash, the Dark Angel's turn.
He's so furious at the weapon, trying to unjam the weapon. So what is that? That's a full action, right?
Full action to unjam. You also have melee if you want to limit your options. So it's kind of it's 6 of one, half a dozen of the other. You might get stuck in a situation where you need it later if you don't unjam now. What are you going
to
do?
I'm just going to go with his natural reaction. I think it's like... And he just wants to unjam it quickly. So if it doesn't work, I might do something else next round, but I'm just going to try to unjam it once real fast.
So that's a ballistic skill test. If it's successful, you clear it, but it still needs to be reloaded and any ammo is lost. So it's another full action to reload. Well, I'm assuming what your weapon is. So you lose. Like that, if that's my situation. If I unjam it, then the following round, I got to do a full action to reload it. So
it's a full action to reload
a heavy bolter. I think all a heavy bolter and a bolter pistol is a full action to reload.
Okay, I will try to quick unjam it. 25 under 46.
Nice.
So I unjam, clear the round out of there, and then, but now it's empty. So the thing is, like, I don't have to reload it next round to be effective. I can use melee, but at least I know in a future round I could reload it and then fire. You know what I mean? So
right.
There are different skills you can take that can reduce the action to unjam a pistol or a weapon to a half action. But yeah.
Okay, cool.
All right, Brother Eliash, through the mercy of the Emperor, is able to unjam his gun. It is now Brother Lucian's turn.
Brother Lucian is going to stand his ground, lower his sights on this mutant beast, and take a full round to aim on him.
Okay.
The intention of firing a semi-auto burst on the next round.
And that gives you... You do that as a full round action to give you a plus 20 on your next round's ballistic right. check. Excellent.
That's awesome.
The bookish, but very handsome... Brother Lucian, he takes his helmet off, and it's like the scene where the librarian lets her hair down.
Looks like Fabio.
Don't get on a roller coaster and get hit in the face with a goose, whatever you do.
It's one weakness.
It is now Brother Scold's turn, and Brother Scold, Pat, is taking a chunk out of crime.
Yeah, what did he attack me with?
A chainsword.
A chainsword. How dare he? How dare he? Grant, I'm looking at this... this table of combat actions,
mm-hmm.
And I find my eye drawn to the knockdown action.
Ooh. Okay,
may I try that?
Sure. Will you explain it for the listeners?
It says try to knock an opponent to the ground.
Yep, and it is a it is a half round action.
Yeah,
and what will you be rolling?
It says it's a melee attack. No, I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong thing. It's an attack, melee. So I would be rolling against my weapon skill? I don't know. What?
Yep, weapon skill would be it, because ballistic skill manages just everything that's a ranged weapon. So okay. This will be a ballistic skill.
So your brother Scold, after taking having had a chunk cut out of him with a chainsword, is this going to
try actually,
to...
I'm sorry. This is an opposed strength test.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Interesting. I was just double checking, hoping that Brother Scold would know, but of course Matthew didn't do his homework because he hates this game with all of his heart.
Don't be ridiculous, Grant. I wouldn't have done my homework even if I liked the game.
This is true.
Fair point.
So it is going to be a opposed strength test. So let me see my strength modifier. Add your strength modifier to a D10, good sir.
11.
That will beat my 8.
Yeah.
So Brother Skull is like, get off me, and just hit him with the bolter and knock him to the ground.
Awesome. Oh my god, I love that.
And then that was a half action.
I'm going to also take, I think we should have rolled D100s, but I'm going to let it roll as is and just divide it by 10 or multiply it by 10. That would be 2 degrees of success. So I'm going to take 1d5 minus 3 plus your strength bonus damage. So roll a d10, subtract 3 from your strength bonus, add it all together.
6.
Okay, 6 damage, 6 wounds to this guy. So you push him back, and your power armor is just crackling as he loses 6 wounds. But he's still up.
I believe I still have a half action left.
You do.
So I would like to now shoot him with my bolter. Can I do that?
Yes.
See? His stupid prone face.
Stupid prone face.
And that's point blank, too. That's plus 30 or something?
Plus 30 for point blank, plus 20 for close range. You're within 2 meters? Yeah. So we're going to count each square as a meter. And you are just 1 meter away. And then plus 10, I believe, for your bolter mastery.
My bolter mastery. So this is going to... I have to go under an 85.
Okay.
And I don't... With an 89.
Oh,
man.
Oh, 93 and an 89 for you.
All right, well, I knocked him down.
Seriously, still a successful turn.
That you did. The Rebel Horde is going to go ahead and take a shot at Brother Scold, seeing them push back their leader. He's still standing, though, so they're feeling pretty good. Here we go.
Is he standing, Grant? Is he standing?
He's still standing. Oh, was it knocked down or knocked back? It was knocked down. Knocked down on his butt. But they do not hit you with their las guns. They miss with a 69, which is technically the best possible score. But in the 41st millennia, there are no 69s. It is now Brother Seferin's turn.
Brother Seferin.
You know what's so funny is, like, I was reading about bracing, because it doesn't say anywhere in the startup guide about bracing. It's only in the full guide, so I feel like we shouldn't have to do it.
I can tell you what is in the full guide about it.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at, because it says that some space marines don't need to brace, but they need to have, like, bulging biceps, which I guess I don't have. I'm basically trying to game the system so I don't have to do a bracing, but I'll figure that out between now and my next turn. In the meantime, I'm going to take just one turn to see if I can unjam this thing, and if I can't, I might throw it to the ground and do what a Blood Angel does and get up and close and personal. All right, ballistics test. 84! Unjam it. Real terrible.
What is wrong with my heavy bolter? How did this fool make it into Space Marines?
So I looked up oppose tests. Is that something that
That's know what we were doing there with the strength test.
Yeah, it's a little complicated, but it's definitely a D100 roll.
Yeah.
And you both need to succeed, or whoever succeeds just wins. If both succeed, it's the whoever succeeds by the most degrees wins. If they tie on that, the higher characteristic bonus wins. If they still tie on that, the lowest die roll wins.
Got it.
So it sounds like Matthew still would have had it, but...
Right.
Oh, wait, you didn't roll D100. Yeah, right. Okay.
So we screwed it up, but that's to be understood to happen. It is now standing as a half action. So Pat is going to stand up as a half action, and he's going to make a ballistic check against Brother Skull to attempt to hit you with his auto pistol. This is within point blank range for him as well, so this is a plus 30 to hit. This is going to be a single shot, however, not fully auto shot because he had to stand up. Good move, good buddy Matthew. Here it comes. That is a 53 under 65, so that is 1 degree of success. That's all he needed to hit. This is going to be four.
Can I try to dodge again?
You can.
Oof.
No, I don't get it. 47 over 37.
Okay, so you do not dodge, and you will take... So all of your armor and toughness will apply here. There's no penetration on this weapon. It is going to be for 7 points of wounds, which I think you might cancel out altogether.
So I cancel it altogether. Look at my wolf! My wolf is amazing!
So gregarious. You said that so gregariously.
I am a gregarious space marine. That's what they say about me.
It is now Brother Eliash's turn.
So this dude, Pat, is just in melee with Skull.
Well, I'm shooting it from a distance now.
Oh, so he's not on the map.
It might be one of those roll 20 desync things. Let me refresh and see if it's me first.
But he's right next to Skull.
Pat's right there.
Yeah, I can see him if he's right next to Skull.
It looks like I thought he took a step back.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't refreshed on my end. So now I see it.
And then the Rebels horde has moved on to Brother Skull Square. They did not do anything to attack now, but that is where they're standing. It kind of is working similarly to the rules in Pathfinder regarding swarms.
Oh, so there is a horde behind the barricade. Right, yeah, next to Brother Ilya.
The color contrast on this kind of grimdark map is not doing well. It's hard to see. I apologize for that. But you can see this group of soldiers that I'm kind of moving around Brother Skold there.
Yeah. I see it now. Okay. I think I'm going to go after them. So I will just move action into melee next to Brother Skold with the horde, and I'll attack the horde with my power fist.
Great.
I'll just try to, like, just go through, like, nine jaws of men in one swing and just crush their mouths off. Okay, so weapon skill test is a 12 under 44.
Ooh.
So that's 3 degrees of success.
Excellent. So you inflict one hit for every 2 degrees of success. You have not quite four, so you'll take out two of the mass of this horde, taking out about 60 dudes in one swipe of your power.
He does it backhanded.
That's all these guys explode.
Yeah, it's just like bodies are flying against the wall of the cathedral. Just like their blood is splattering and pouring down the sides of it.
It's like Sauron at the Battle of...
Yes, exactly.
As the rest of the horde is just terrified by this, the power field on your power fist discharges, taking another die off of this horde's magnitude. With power field weapons, inflict one additional hit. So great job, Brother Eliosh. And that was your whole turn?
That was it. I moved and swung. So yeah, that should be it.
Brother Lucian.
All right, Brother Lucian has readied his aim. Should be, I think he's at close range for the pistol. So that's plus, that's an additional plus 10, right?
Plus close range. 20, I believe.
Plus 20. Okay, so that's plus 40 total with the four round of aim.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, 0-3 on a semi-auto burst.
Oh my God! Dude, so, under what?
So that's under 40 something.
So 4 degrees of success.
Yeah, but I fire a total of 3 shots, so it's 3 hits. So yeah. Wow. Okay.
Wait, I thought it was plus 40 to hit.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Under 80? It's the maximum because I only fire 3 shots with my semi-auto burst.
Oh, okay.
So it's a total maximum of 3 hits.
Where they all hit, do you roll the damage 3 times?
So we could either take 3 out of this automatically. If he succeeds, 45 points of damage. We'll take out more than that. You don't have the blast quality on your weapon, do you?
Oh, no, I'm shooting at Pat.
Oh, at Pat. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Oh, so with 3 attacks, here's what you got to do. What was your roll on the die? Do you remember?
Oh, three.
So if you reverse that number, we will decide what location of Pat's body you hit.
Oh. That's interesting. Yes.
And why is this?
No. This is how you determine wounds against these kind of creatures. It's like where it hits them.
Oh, that's interesting. Right.
On a weapon skill or ballistic skill test, when you're attacking an individual as opposed to a horde, you reverse the order of the digits, e.g. a roll of 32 becomes a 23, a roll of 20 becomes an 02, and so on, and compare this number to the table 8-3 hit locations. So an 03 becomes a 30, which means you hit him in the left arm for the first attack. What's even more exciting about this is there is a table that tells you where each additional attack will hit. But just roll the damage on each one, and I'll tell you what happens.
Okay, so it's 21 points of damage on the first attack.
So that hits its flank armor, so -4 and minus. His toughness is -8, so that's 13 points of damage. Keep on going.
Okay. Second round is... 19 points of damage.
Okay, subtracting what I need to from there. Continue.
Okay, and the last one is 22 points of damage.
Okay.
Jesus.
Actually, on the very first shot, you take away all of his wounds. As you would say, describe your kill, sir, as you overkill this dude with 3 bolter shells.
So the first round hits him in the shoulder, and it explodes in the socket and, like, blows his arm free, like, 20 feet away. The second round hits him right in the pelvis, blowing up and shattering it, like, as he starts to tilt over. The last round hits him right in the forehead, and his brain explodes like an overripe melon.
Excellent. Yeah, so going to the table that I finally found, when you start on the arm, your first hit is in the arm, your second hit is in the arm, and then your third hit is in the body. Your fourth hit would be in the head, your fifth hit would be in the body, and each additional hit would be in the arm.
What page is that table on?
239. And that's, it's really neat because they make it to where hitting the head is very difficult to do. But if you start on the head, if you're lucky enough to roll anything that gets reversed into an 01 through a 10, and you still hit, you go head, head, arm, body. And so, like, if someone's wearing armor that doesn't cover their head, their armor reduction doesn't count at all for that. So it's really important against bigger people. Huh. So Pat explodes. He has been removed from the Donjon initiative tracker. It is now Brother Skold's turn with these rebels crawling all over him.
So can I just shoot down? Can I just go full auto at the horde that's surrounding me?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to do anything to get out of the, like, get out of the horde first, or can I just go full auto?
You know, this is a very interesting point about shooting into melee. Are you yourself considered in melee? I think so, but you're not shooting into melee?
Yeah, I think this is a different...
I'm shooting within
melee. I think it's
just
point blank, honestly.
Yeah, we'll give you point blank because it's fun and you're overpowered to begin with. So go for point blank, so plus 30.
Plus a plus 10 from my bolter mastery, so... Okay, 26 under 85.
Oh, man. So six
dear degrees Lord. Of success, but the max... Let me just pull up my weapon sheet here.
It's a regular bolter, right?
Yes.
That is four. That is four maximum four. On a full burst.
Do I roll damage, or because it's a horde, I don't, right?
You could, but it would be unlikely that you would have to roll more than 60 points of damage to take out more than four magnitude from them. I don't think you'll do it. So we'll just say that you take out 240 men.
So Brother Skull just points his bolter straight down and is just like...
men.
And then to the people who think I'm being a stick in the mud, I just want to point out that I just did that.
Yeah, give him a break.
So the horde's magnitude has not been reduced by 25% in a turn yet, so there's no willpower test yet, but that's because you had to pay attention to Pat, the dead giant. So that should change, but first the rebel horde gets to both attack with melee and shoot at Brother Skold in the same turn, but very low chance to hit at this point. So let's start first with the lasgun fire. Point blank. That is 555. Let's roll damage. 8 on the die, so that's a total of 12 points of damage. Pen 1, so remove 1 from that. I think, what is your total? 14?
You have the superhuman toughness, so instead of 4, it's 8.
And because I have superhuman toughness, it would be actually 16.
It's right. the number in the small box in the corner of your
right.
first 10 digit.
Right,
but it's 8, but plus my armor points is 16, right? Or do I not yes. add the armor points?
Yeah, that's right.
Yep. Okay, so nothing gets through on that attack.
I think actually nothing should have gotten through on that first attack either.
Yeah, that's, I was about to say, yeah.
So hand I off the chest piece.
I'm gonna take away those four wounds.
No, you can't. The God Emperor denies.
The God Emperor denies.
The God Emperor bestowed me with superhuman toughness.
You hear a message from the clouds. There is nothing but heresy coming from Brother Skold. Strike him down, brothers. With the ballistic skill attack, that is going to be a 49 under 35. I'm sorry, weapon skill attack for their muskets at the end trying to go to your armor, but they can't get through. It is Brother Sephirin's turn.
Brother Sephirin is just shaking his gun, and he looks at the devastation his brothers are raining down on the horde and on the now deceased Pat, and he says, "Clearly the memory of my annihilation of that former orc horde has inspired my Death Watch brothers in arms. Not unlike the memory of the murder of my Primarch Sanguinius, which inspires me to rage every second of every living day."
And then he, seeing that it's just a orc horde
left. Every second of every living day. I like it.
So exhausting. That sounds exhausting.
Since it's just an orc horde left, he's gonna he needs his heavy bolter to do anything here. It seems like people have it in hand, so he's gonna just try and unjam it. And this time he does with a 3 under 48 or whatever. So finally it's unjammed, but he will have to reload next round.
Beautiful. Shaking off some bad memories of a past life. Passing on to Brother Eliash.
Brother Eliash. He is going to continue going nuts on this horde with his power fist. Just grabbing. I mean, he's literally picking up 3 and 4 men at a time and just slinging them into the building and squashing them like grapes. I am going to do an all-out attack with the power fist. So that gives me a plus 20 to the check, but I leave myself open, so I cannot dodge or parry for a round, but I get a plus 20 to the attack.
Beautiful.
So here we go. Swinging away at these guys. Weapon skill. Let's see. No! 74 over 64.
Oh, God.
Maybe Roots Magoots, and I can't dodge or parry.
Maybe it's the curse of landing your orbital lander into the side of the Emperor's temple.
Perhaps.
Next up is Brother Lucian.
All right, Brother Lucian, having finished off the champion, swings around, the servos clicking in his armor, and he does another full semi-auto burst. I think this is the last of his clip on the horde. So, and I think that's close range, so that's plus 20. 01.
Oh, my God. Skid.
What on earth?
You are murdering it today.
Wow, okay. So that's another 3 hits, so that should be 3 magnitude.
Brother Lucian is so hot right now.
So hot right now.
Great frickin' job. Just explosions all around. This horde is finally getting thinned out. That gets tossed over to Brother Scold.
Also, did anybody else notice that... Did we talk about the Brother Scold, Brother Eliash, and Brother Seraphim all have the same mini, and yet Brother Lucian is completely different and amazing? What's going on with this? What's his favoritism that's happening right now?
When I was putting everyone's down, I only had so many of these kind of workman-like quality tokens that were standard Ultramarines. And then when it was either have them look exactly the same or go with someone that looks a little bit different. And yes, Brother Lucian. Brother Lucian is basically the kid that gets way too into dressing up for Halloween. His palm is black. His hand is crackling magic. It's pretty great.
Brother Scold is going to do another full auto. He's just going to shoot his bolter for his entire round at the horde surrounding him.
Yeah.
Hell frickin' yeah.
That is a 35 under 85.
Oh, nice.
5 successes. Your total max is 4
rounds.
Got it. Yeah. So that reduces them almost to 50%. And between that and 5, 4, so 7. I think they have to make a will save now. Okay, so I'm going to make that will save.
Ooh, to see if they break?
Yes, to see if they break. 95.
Oh! Oh,
they broke.
Out. They broke.
They gone.
Chase them down and murder their families.
It is now their turn, and they dodge over to the west. They full withdraw away from you. However, in that moment, on the other side of the balustrade, the irregulars of this planet, who were earlier inspired by Brother Lucian's words of battle fury, come out of nowhere and blast them to shit. With
crackernets. Oh my god.
The whole battle goes, yeah!
We are victorious sons of the Emperor.
I love this so much.
We are victorious sons of the Emperor.
Ha 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 ha!
I mean, it's so great just watching Matthew's face through all of it, too. It heightens my enjoyment by a factor of 10, I'm telling you. Oh, God. Matthew, you don't like the idea of us all being sons and heirs of the oppressive
of
overlord?
Of an evil overlord? Hold on. So that horde that took up four squares on the map actually represented how many people?
Between 300 and 600 people. Depends on the horde.
It depends on the magnitude. Packed them into that 8 meters.
Yeah,
well, that was the tip of the spear. That was probably the tip of the spear.
No, sure.
They're all piggybacking each other.
Oh, get them!
They're all sitting on each other's shoulders wearing extra long trench coats.
But go ahead and make a make a perception check. Everyone.
91.
95. Still working on my gun.
002.
Oh, beautiful. Ooh.
And then 33 under 41 for Brother Ilyash.
That 2 was under 53 for me, if that matters.
So immediately upon this, you see one of the dismembered arms that flew out from underneath one of the robes of one of the many countless horde members. And you see a strange tattoo that you couldn't see until the arm flew off. Let's see. Which lores do you guys have? I'm trying to see. You have
I have
Scholastic and Common.
I just have Common.
I don't think anyone has Forbidden. I don't think anyone has Forbidden lore.
I know it. I have Common lore, Adeptus Astartes, Imperium, and War.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Scholastic lore, Codex Astartes. Yes. Obviously.
Obs. Well, something is disquieting. You feel a evil presence kind of oozing from this marking, and if you look at it too long, your vision actually gets blurry, and you hear,
"Give yourselves to us, give yourselves to us, and it's the time to have it, and the planet is awesome."
And you feel heresy begin to try to enter your body as you just look at this tattoo.
So, Brother Lucian has direct experience with this at the Battle of McCrag. So, even though he doesn't have the lore, like, would he be able to identify this?
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
why don't you just just for fun, give me just a really plus 30, so that's a favorable, I believe, lore check you have, or intelligent check. Yeah.
That is a 66 under 71.
Perfect.
So Brother Lucian looks at this thing, like he comes over when you guys are looking at it, and kind of senses the disquiet, and he picks it up and he turns to you and just quietly over comms, he says,
"Brothers, I am concerned that we are witnessing the final stages of a gene stealer cult outbreak. The Tyranids will soon take this planet if we do not stop them."
Brother Ilyash's expression just darkens. His jaw hardens.
So he explains that this is how the Tyranids, which the Tyranids are, they're basically a kind of a combination of the bugs from Starship Troopers, the Borg from Star Trek, the xenomorphs from the Alien movies, and with some Cthulhu thrown in.
So there is not one element of this that isn't maximum, like too, like so extra.
So they're like this. They're this extra galactic biomass. They came from outside our galaxy over countless millennia. Some say fleeing an even greater threat. They came to our galaxy, and they absorb biomass and turn it for their own purposes. And so one of the ways that they do this, one of the ways they prepare planets, they send these agents called gene stealers, who are really very much like the xenomorphs from Aliens. And just one of these xenomorphs can wipe out an entire planet. What they do is they'll kidnap people and implant them with Tyranid DNA, and after a certain number, and make them breed, and like they will send them out after a certain number of generations, they'll look human, and they'll send them out into the populace to kind of infiltrate different sectors of the society. And when they're ready, like when they sense that the Tyranid fleet is close, they will send out a psychic signal. They have like a vampiric psychic control over everyone in their web, and they'll have this massive uprising. And that's what this looks like, is the final stages of this phenomenon on this planet.
So this is typically happens to humans, but it could be Aldari or the orcs. And the gene stealer will find a suitable host and hypnotize them into passivity using an effect induced with its eyes. As Skid said, the gene stealer thrusts its long whip-like tongue, which also serves as an ovipositor, which is an egg, thing. It's a very alien influence, as Skid brought up during, I think, our first episode, into the body of the host, where it deposits its DNA in a type of virus that infects the somatic and germline cells of the host. They wake up, they don't know they're infected, and then when they reproduce with someone else that's a member of their race, they reproduce with that person, and then they have a gene stealer hybrid as a child. And that reproductive cycle is cyclical, as a fourth generation hybrid will always spawn a pure strain gene stealer and in the fifth generation with a genome identical to that of the original gene stealer. So you have four generations of people reproducing with each other, and then the fifth generation, they come out exactly as the original alien gene stealer. And at that point, the planet is lost.
Wow.
That is fucking brilliant. That's
yeah, so it's cool. It's really badass. It's really cool. Did any of you guys play the old Space Hulk video game?
No.
No, I didn't end up playing it.
Okay. The Gene Stealers were the enemies in that game. That was on, I had that on a 3DO back in like 94. But it was really cool, and that was my first exposure to these things. I think they were I think they came up with Gene Stealers before they even came up with the Tyranid concept, but yeah.
That makes me think of Spotlight, the movie Spotlight, where he says the Catholic Church thinks in centuries.
Yeah.
You know, when they think about problems and how to deal with things, whatever. It's like these creatures think, it's like it doesn't matter. It could take generations and generations to do this one small thing, but like they've got the time. Like
they're playing
there's
a long
no
game.
Rush. Yeah. Incredibly patient, and then you just, without firing a single gun, you take an entire planet over. Like, very cool concept.
So at this point, it's clear that the rebels' spirit is broken. It's clear to them they have no chance of defeating the likes of the Death Watch, you angels of death, you princes and princesses of New England. And what little value they have left for their lives encourages them to all turn tail and run. They may not be powerful to face you, but perhaps one of their allies may be. As the battle is finished, you see the captain you spoke with briefly at the height of the barricade run up towards you, say, "That was absolutely astonishing. Bravo, bravo, bravo. I've never been more certain that there is only the Emperor and he is our shield and protector. And you are proof positive of that." Right as the captain finishes saying this, a portion of the church's bell tower masonry, which was recently ravaged by your orbital descent, gives way. A 20-ton tarnished brass bell, bedeckled with heraldry and adorations of the God Emperor, crashes through the rear of the Gothic Palace of Worship, killing hundreds of recuperating soldiers.
Oh my God!
These are some Grant Berger alterations to this adventure.
If that's not a sign against the God Emperor, what is?
As that bell rings, and the bell tolled for some people for sure, and it clears out the air, the captain turns to you and says, "Well, we may have lost that battle, but we can still save Lordholm. Come, 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 please. My name is Escote, by the way. Captain Escote."
He seemed strangely unbothered by the death of hundreds of his soldiers. I was wounded by the bell. "Lead the way, puny mortal."
We shoot him.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is these guys, the Imperial Guard is just the regular rank and file army of the Imperium. it makes up, there are billions and billions and billions of human soldiers. And I was reading that the average life expectancy of an Imperial Guardsman right out of boot camp is about 15 hours. So losing them in a way like that would not be shocking entirely.
That's amazing.
Brother Sephir is like, lead the way, puny mortal. Should you misguide us, we will dip you in silver and use you as a chess piece.
That would be a true honor. Brother, what was it again? Brother
Sephirin.
Sephirin. Oh, yes. Pleasure.
Captain Escote leads you back into the chapel, still dominated by the wreckage and new wreckage from your drop pod. Joe, you noticed something odd about Captain Escote, Brother Eliash did, when you did your perception check. Could you roll another perception check?
Happy to, good buddy. No. No! 89. Over 41.
Something doesn't feel right to you. It feels like some of the times you've had to eliminate secrets in the past. You kind of remember the feeling you had from your backstory.
You know, it's so funny. I was actually going to say that when you said the way that you came out and you were like, oh, great job. Great job. We saved the planet, eh? Like, I was a little weirded out and was like, I wanted to do a sense motive. Like, that was my first thought, but I didn't know how to do it. And I figured that it was a perception roll, I guess. Or maybe awareness.
Awareness.
Would it be like an awareness roll?
I feel like it would also fall under fellowship, but I have not. I've been mostly focusing.
Oh, yeah. You know, it might fall under fellowship.
I've been focusing on the balls to the wall, blow people up part of this game.
There's more to it than that?
So charm is...
oh, what a massive dick.
So charm, basic interaction. The character can use charm skill to improve the disposition of others towards him, making a charm test whenever he wishes to change the minds of an individual. All charm tests are opposed by willpower. Special uses are inspire. Awareness allows you to... It encompasses your subconscious ability to react to things his conscious mind may not be able to perceive. So I think perception may have been the right call to use.
All right. So something's just a little off. But yeah, he's not going to say anything just now. He's very secretive about his concerns as a dark angel, about what this guy might be up to. And he doesn't want to possibly, in a rash action, reveal some secret to even his brothers that they might not, that they shouldn't be exposed to. So he's going to keep silent for the moment.
Captain Escote leads you up a spiral staircase that seems to go up endlessly up to the very top of this temple in honor of the God Emperor of Man. Once inside the rectory at the top of these spiral stairs and out of sight of the men still holding the walls, a ripple seems to run down the captain's body, and his form distorts and shimmers, taking a new shape.
What?
Before you stands a lithe female, clearly a member of the Caladius Assassin Temple, shape-shifting killers and favored tools of the Inquisition.
We warned him. Don't misguide us.
I have put up on Roll 20 a cosplayer, some concept art, and a miniature that is available on the Games Workshop store of the Caladius Assassins.
Cool.
Wow.
Cool.
It's Grant, I can't help but notice that one of her arms seems to be a blade.
And the other is a gun.
Right. And she's just so casual about it.
Yeah. Well, I think she's got her hand on the gun.
It's true. It does look like it's a part of her, though.
It also looks like she's tending goal at a girls' soccer camp.
Yes, that is also true.
Or it looks like she's just outside of a section entrance of a stadium, like she's standing at one of the sections in Giant Stadium,
possibly
waiting for a friend to go up to her seats.
Tickets,
tickets. Waiting for people to look away from their beer can to just drink the leftovers.
I like this lady.
I'm not going to make you guys roll a check on this because I think this is cool and also gives an insight to how kind of by hook or by crook and kind of they hacked a bunch of stuff together for the lore in the beginning. They are assassins and they're from the Officio Assassinorium. the Office of Assassination. Their greatest asset is their ability to use the shape-changing drug polymorphine. This drug, coupled with special training, allows Caladius agents to change their very shape and appearance, allowing them to impersonate other persons, members of the opposite sex, and even humanoid Xenos like orcs and Eldar. There's a legendary member of these assassins that, with added surgery, was able to impersonate a gene stealer like Broodlord, basically. And they go in and they find people that are doing heretical things within the Ministerium, and they spy on them and they take over. So it's pretty cool that you see this person, but also disquieting, much like the tattoo you saw outside. Inclining her head towards you, she greets your kill team.
My lords, blessed be the Emperor. You are not too late. It seems my mistress's faith in the Death Watch was well placed. Would that she were here to greet you herself, but I fear the Xenos have her somewhere in the city. And for several days I have worn the guise of the Planetary Defense Force Commander simply to hold this group of men together, so that there may be a place for you to land. My name is Syndalla. At least that is what Calistrati called me. Other than this, I will not waste words with pleasantries and formalities, for this city is about to fall. The gene stealers have infected much of the population, and those that remain are badly demoralized and exist only within a few isolated parts of the city like this one. Added to this, I expect the vanguard of the Tyranid fleet to arrive within a matter of days. Our only hope is to send a message through the world's astropath before the shadow falls, using your chapter ciphers and request reinforcements. This is, on its own, however, not enough. Even with aid on the way, I think Lord's home will fall before dawn. The only way to stop this is to find the Broodlord, which spawned this infestation, and kill it. I will give you what help I can, but I also need to keep the Planetary Defense Forces from completely collapsing. I have prepared some details to aid you in your task and will offer you what knowledge I have. But before we go any further, I'd like to share with you this missive from one of our town elders, Khan Plak, the keeper of the blind state. I assure you, this intel was difficult to come by. And Syndalla hands over a piece of parchment for one of you to take from her hand and read.
Please, Brother Luke, do us this.
Okay.
Favor. I shall read it.
And inside of the heads-up display of your visor, also known as your Gmail account, you receive the missive.
Couldn't you just use the Roll20 interface? Upload a handout, brah.
It's not pretty, so I didn't want to use it that way. That's why. And then that way it forces you guys to listen to Brother Lukian, which you already would have because he's a world-class orator, but, you know.
Sorry, is this my main account or my company account?
It's your company account.
Oh, I see it. I got it. It's like everyone just got up one day and decided to burn the whole Emperor-damned city to the ground. Not that I blame them, but they could have waited until I'd left. Since the arrival of the Broodlord and its gene-stealer infestation, things have only gotten worse. Now, much of the city lies in ruins, and the rest have been transformed into a battleground. Bodies lie rotting in the streets, while skip around the city unchecked, burning rebels and loyalists alike. Many buildings and roads have been hastily fortified, and throughout the city, barricades block off many areas or make passage extremely hazardous. Wherever one travels in Lord's home, you are sure to hear the snap of lasguns or the chatter of heavy stubbers echoing off the city building around you. Adding to these woes are the city's murky canals. Lord's Holm is crisscrossed with hundreds of them, which divide districts and turn the whole city blocks into islands. Once a thriving part of the city's infrastructure, they have now become coarse, choked barriers over which rebels and loyalists trade shots. These skirmishes mean that a majority of the city's interior bridges have been destroyed. The canals have also been used by the rebels to seal the city from the outlying provinces by burning every bridge to the mainland. Karn Plok, Keeper of the Blind Saint.
And as Brother Lucian finishes...
Awesome!
Global satellite imagery of Avalos downloads into your heads-up display.
Oh, cool! I love global satellite imagery!
So cool! Look at that.
Promethean Bridge.
So we see agri-fields to the west. This planet is primarily providing food to other planets throughout the Imperium. And then you see the area you're in, which is kind of the only city within thousands of miles. And Syndalla sees you all looking at the maps and says,
"The global view will not be enough to achieve your objective. Please look at this district map."
Oh, cool. Oh, neat.
Wow.
As you can see, there are four major districts within Lordsholm: Portica, Magistra, Callistra, and Fabrica. In order to save the day, you have many objectives. Your targets of opportunity, or tertiary objectives, are as follows. 1. Kill the roaming gene stealers. 2. Kill the rebel leaders. 3. Gather Planetary Defense Force support. I will do my best, but I could use help from the Emperor's Finest. Your secondary objectives are to rescue the Lord Governor, help the Planetary Defense Force recapture the city. These goals are optional, but will bring more glory to Death Watch. Your primary objectives are to kill the Broodlord and to send an astropathic message for help. I have words of wisdom, Astartes. Take them with you or not. The choice is yours. Inquisitor Lord Cryptum once said during the defense of Tarsus Ultra that Tyranids are creatures from our darkest nightmares. But remember this: they can bleed and they can die. And we'll see where you head next time.
Oh my god! When? Are we supposed to start an entire campaign?
God. Oh, this is the most awesome thing ever.
Oh my god. All of them.
Yes. There are 17.
All the objectives.
There are 17 locations within the four locations you mentioned.
Warhammer 40K pod coming soon.